life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Oh, hello, beautiful people of America.
Oh, hello, and beyond.
Yes.
And beyond there.
Yeah, beyond America, too.
Holly, how you doing?
Go ahead.
What? I wasn't even expecting that. I was just asking you to stall for time. But
okay, I'm going to tell you.
There's something going on.
No, it's not. It's just that I saw a TikTok yesterday that pretty much summed up how I think we're all doing. Mm-hmm. It was like the stages of quarantine in 12 steps. And at first it's like, what? We just going to stay home and watch TV? Yes. And then it's like, there's no toilet paper. And then it's like, oh, but now they say to wear masks. And then it's like, I haven't seen anyone in 70 days. And just like, it just progresses. And I feel like we're all at the crazy point.
That's what I feel like. I just want to like do stuff.
Yeah. But see, I also don't want to be reckless, but I just want to do stuff. Like Listen, it takes a lot for me to want to do stuff. Eesh. I don't really do a lot of stuff. I really enjoy sitting at my house, but there's a limit for all of us. I think maybe 2 months might be mine.
Yeah, I feel like we're there where everyone's just, and this is what I struggle with is being reckless.
That's what I mean.
But then being responsible, because it's like, how do you know?
Actually,
how do you manage that?
I almost did something over when I went to the beach with my girlfriend. I just thought about this because I think we're talking about going on vacation. You brought that up in your blog
today. Yeah.
And I was thinking about when I went to the beach with my girlfriend, I was in a mood where it was like almost reckless, where it was kind of getting later in the day and we started talking about how like sometimes we would just randomly get a hotel somewhere or like just, and I was like, you know what? I would be down to do that like right now. Oh. Literally got on, looked up the hotel. Luckily, they were closed, obviously.
Right.
But if they weren't, I would have been like, all right, screw it.
That's the thing.
We're getting a room.
Like, I've, not me personally, but my person, been looking at hotel rooms in, like, Orlando or whatever for, July.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, $62 a night.
Oh, but do you trust it?
I don't know. Like, here's what I would do if I ever did decide to do that. I would go armed, each of us, with two cans of Lysol.
Where we are in 2020. You're
I'm
not
going to do the gun. Shoot the virus.
Right?
Yes.
No.
I bet you if we looked on Facebook, there's probably one of those like dumb events where it's like shoot at the coronavirus or something.
Oh, probably.
You know someone's done that somewhere.
I'm sure they have. But no, I meant like armed with cans of Lysol and wipes and hand sanitizers and whatever else. I don't know. That contraption.
Just to get away.
Pastor in Tampa said he had like machines that shoot down the
right up.
I get one of them, but just to like get out of the neighborhood, I don't know. And I'm not that person, y'all. I am like the level-headed. I love my house. It's just a lot.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're gonna just play it by ear. Like we've been talking with some of our friends on possibly going to Key West this summer at some point.
Yeah, but is it safe?
I don't know. And then, because like normally we stay at an Airbnb there.
Oh, no.
And so then it's like, well, what are their sanitary procedures like, you know?
And that's the thing. Like, I would much rather stay at a hotel where I know they probably have procedures. There's like, you know, some kind of memo that came down from corporate, like, here's how you have to sanitize the rooms. Whereas as an Airbnb, they're like, oh, well, we were taking the essential oil route, and we've sanitized with lemon.
Wait, but Holly, isn't that kind of you, though? I mean, you have an essential oils kit.
I do. But when it comes to coronavirus, ain't no essential oil cleaning my house. I mean, I do have essential oil hand sanitizer, but it's like, it has alcohol. The alcohol is denatured with the oil. So, like, I'm still using stuff that's strong. Like, I'm not cleaning my countertops with my essential oil spray.
That's right. Great.
So, like, I'm not Facebook Karen that's like, now, lavender oil can flush out the virus. Bitch, no.
No. Yeah. Please don't do that.
Like, how do you know that the Airbnb owners didn't do that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I literally, every time I think I have an answer, then I shut myself down before I even, like, think of another option.
I know.
I feel like this is the summer where we're all just going to have to sit our ass down.
But, and here's what stresses me out a little bit, though, is, so, should we be sitting our asses down in the summer, or should we, like, venture out in the summer and then be prepared to sit our ass down in the fall?
I mean, do you want to get sick this summer?
No. But, like, it seems like the second wave is going to come in the fall and the winter.
I mean, that's what they say now, but they honestly don't know.
No, they don't
because,
know.
I mean, according to the research now, the like the heat and the humidity has no effect. Like, it doesn't kill the virus, like, or it doesn't go away like normally, like the common cold or the flu does. So it's just like there's no escape. I mean, this is just our first.
That sounded so
what the?
Sad.
There's no escape. Jesus, we've gone off the rails.
Wait a minute, hold on. Okay, let me get myself.
Am I still
together.
Tap dancing for you or no?
No, I'm done.
What are you doing?
I'm posting some stuff on social media.
Oh.
So just there's some stuff playing on the radio that's about to play right now that I need to post on social media to correlate with it.
Oh, okay.
And so I just have to do that real quick.
All right, did you do it or not?
Yep, it is done now.
Okay.
So what I wanted to talk about, Holly, before you left the studio, you said that you were sad that you didn't eat your what?
My salad?
But you called it something else. Do you remember?
I don't.
Your lunchy? And as soon as you walked out, I was like, what the f- Is that what we're doing now? We're calling it a lunchy?
Did I say that?
You did. You said, because I literally wrote it down. I said, lunchy? What the hell is that?
I don't know. I'm all messed up with this.
Well,
like usually I call like when I'm talking to Maya, I'll be like, what are we doing for snackies? Like snackies I'll do. I don't usually do lunchies.
Well, that's what I told Miguel. I was like, I feel like when you're a parent, you just add like I's to everything or E's.
Yeah.
It just sounds more friendly.
It does. Like I usually say like if we have a bag of chips, I never say I'm going to go get some chips. I say I'm going to get the chippies.
Hold on. I'm writing all these down because we're gonna do this as a segment either tomorrow or next week.
I have never in my life said lunchy. I don't know why it popped out today, but maybe again, my brain is a little frazzled.
Well, I think I'm a little sensitive to that right now because I've been thinking of a way to tell my boyfriend that I think he needs to stop saying this word. Because it annoys me so much. And now all of our friends are saying it.
Oh, no.
And, like, it was cute at the beginning. But now I'm like, we got to stop.
What's the word?
Remember when The Mandalorian came out and everyone was obsessed with Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
And then all those memes came out where it was, like, Baby Yoda at a restaurant. And it was like, the waiter is just telling me my order while I'm waiting on my chicken tendies. And so now my boyfriend will be like, ooh, I want some chicken tendies.
Wait, tendies or nuggies?
Well, either or.
Oh.
Because he doesn't eat chicken nuggets. He eats chicken tendies.
Oh.
And so either or, it's all fucking annoying to me.
Oh.
Really?
Can't you just let him have tendies?
No, because listen.
Or nuggies?
It was cute at first and it was funny.
Uh-huh.
And now when he says it, I'm just like, my skin crawls. When he's just like, ooh, do you want to go to Publix and get some chicken tendies? And I'm like, no!
That's so cute.
I want to get chicken tenders!
You're a grumpy old man.
Yeah, you really are. I didn't. That's rough.
So then when you said lunchies, I was like,
Sorry, I don't normally say lunchies. I don't. I just don't even know why that popped out my mouth.
I think I want to do a segment what words annoy you the most? So like lunchies, tendies, nuggies. There was another one I saw with Baby Yoda about chocolate milk.
Chalky milk?
Chalky milk. And I was like.
Yeah, that was too much.
I'm done.
That's too much.
Like,
a little bit chalky milk.
Stop it. Mm-mm. I think my penis just shriveled up inside my body when you said that.
What in the actual hell?
Talk about words.
Does that have to do with anything? What? Like, what?
I don't know. This is going to be a long podcast today because I just feel like I am just. Well, and then this is another topic I wanted to, like, it's been in my notes to bring up on the show for a while.
Yes.
But I didn't, I've been listening and trying to gather, like, a whole list of the dad jokes that my boyfriend does. So he all the time will be like, because he's a painter, and so, and he's like a handyman, and he'll be like, oh, I got to go over to Home Depot.
Oh, no, and I'm like, hate Home Depot. That, like, it really? Makes me offended, even as a non-gay. Like, as a non-gay, I'm offended. I'm like, don't call it that.
I'm like, and I had, like, a list of, like, things that he would say, and then there was only, like, three. And so, but now he started back up again with stuff.
With Home Depot?
Home Depot, and then, like, now the chicky nuggies the chicken tendies.
Chalky milk.
Ah! So
okay.
Oh wow, you are just such a gem.
You are a joy.
Why is anyone around me ever? I don't know.
Well, you get everybody drunk, so maybe that's it. I don't know.
All right, let's see. That's
lunchies. Why would I say that? I don't
know. So yeah, you probably wanted a snacky or a lunchie.
I wanted a snacky, and then I forgot I had a lunchie.
We did have an open mic.
Oh, good.
We had an open mic, which, Holly, can you explain open mics for our grad bash? Because we are lacking on those for Saturday.
So Saturday we got our big grad bash, which is like a graduation party of sorts that we're doing on the radio. And we want to just celebrate the class of 2020. We've got dignitaries coming on. We've got high school principals coming on. We've got local celebrities coming on. And you. This is how you come on to the show and do a shout out to the class of 2020. You could be in the class of 2020, a parent of, a younger sibling of. Doesn't matter. You download the Hot 101.5 app. On the bottom it says open mic feature. And then you push that tab, and then you can record like a quick 15-second shout out, and then we get it and we can play it Saturday.
Absolutely. And so that same feature you can use, you can always talk to us for the podcast.
Yeah.
Just like Rachel did here.
Hey, Miguel. Hey, Holly. Hey, Scotty. It's Rachel Laminati. I just got finished listening to the podcast, which was hilarious. Just wanted to say it was me that suggested the drinking game for Miguel. Mm. I just wanted to pretend that I was Andy Cohen. Love y'all.
The drinking game with the phrases Miguel says to me.
Yes. So navigating the waters or...
At the end of the day.
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Or that's fascinating. This new normal.
You know what, another one? I almost hesitate to say this because this one would throw you off your game.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can guess.
It's not a phrase.
Is it?
It's a transitional word.
Is it something when I'm coming to the close of a thought?
No, it's usually when we're doing interviews
or
if you are moving from one topic to another or
is it absolutely?
You say that. A lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I literally in my mind have a list of words I'm trying to eliminate from us when we're on the radio. What is it?
Now. And it's very subtle. But it's like when we're interviewing people and like you're about to go to a next talk. Like, let's say Mayor Kreisman's on the phone. And you're saying, okay, Mayor Kreisman, how do you feel about everything today? And he answers and then you go, no. It's your transitional bridge to get from one side of that to the other. And then even if you're like asking Scott about, you know, his situation with Mary, so you're going up to Virginia. Are you going to go? Now, do you think it's like the now is like an but it's not because you almost need something, but yours is always now. And I don't know what even to tell because I think I do the same thing. Maybe not with now, but with some other phrase. And so everybody has those. I just don't know what to do to get rid of them.
I just want to be a robot and be perfect when I talk to people.
This is what makes us human and wonderful.
Yes.
Well, what I try to do is if you actually listen to NPR, which I actually listen to a lot of, I find it so fascinating that as humans, they don't have the crutches that I have when they interview people because that's all that is they just interview people.
Right.
And so when they're talking to like a Mayor Rick Kreisman, he'll say, we're the pier opening event was canceled. And so now we're looking to aim at the fall. On our show, I would go, wow. So what has that been like? Whereas on NPR, he'll end a sentence and they'll go, but how much money did that cost the taxpayers? And I'm like,
How do you?
It's like they're machines.
I know.
And they just can switch from question to question. And I'm like, I can't. I try my heart. Like, I cringe when I listen back to us sometimes and we're doing interviews and I can hear myself go, absolutely. So what's that other thing?
Well, I just feel like in our brand of radio, mm-hmm. it's more... personalized.
It's not as professional.
It sounds like a conversation, but that's great though, because how else do you get Justin Bieber to open up about which Doritos he likes better?
True.
And show personality. They're not trying to show personality on NPR. NPR might as well be the local news media.
They are.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you watch them, and God bless like Jen Epstein and Charlie Belcher and Walter Allen, all of them, they do such a wonderful job at what they do.
Don't forget Russell Rhodes and Laura Moody and Dave Osterberg.
Wow. Yes. Thank you. Sorry. I was just struggling to come up with a couple of names, but that's fine. So all of them over at Fox 13, when they do what they're best at, it's like a machine. Boom, boom. But if you see if their person tells them to stretch it for like a minute at the end, you would think that they've never spoken to another human before.
That is true. That's true, because
so
that's not their
different,
set.
And even though NPR is radio, it's still professional interviewing with no personality.
Right.
We bring personality. We're going to joke, and we're going to be juking and jiving with you.
Juking and jiving.
Yes.
That should be the tagline for our show. Miguel and Holly on Hot 101.5, juking and jiving.
I'll write that one down.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I want to put this on YouTube. Hold on. I want to see.
Oh, God.
And Josh.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see. I want to see what comes up.
This
is going to be the new theme song for. Oh, well, that's a commercial.
Oh, it's like a premium SpongeBob. Non-skippable ad. Okay.
Here we go.
Well, you got to pay.
What is this?
You're listening to Hot 101.5, Miguel and Holly. We're juking and jiving.
Okay. Welcome back. I'm juking and jiving over here right now.
This is what our show is. That's our new theme song for the show. Scott?
I think we're, it's a great song. I don't think it's,
Wait, Holly, well, what about this one from back in the day? Do you remember this one? Wait, where's my?
Oh, my God.
Brian Seltzer Orchestra.
I'm sorry, but when we were in high school, what is this? Swing Music had a small comeback, and I was in show choir, and we did a whole swing show. Including this one.
Yes. Like, Scott, this song was on, like, the radio, like on our station.
Can you please look up? Then you really gotta jump jiving. Then you really gotta jump jiving. Then you really gotta. Can you please look up Zoot Suit Riot by the Cherry Poppin' Daddy?
Well, you said who?
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. I forgot. It was like a 6 month to a 1 year period. Yes. Where swing was like it.
Because then also wasn't that Mambo Number 5 could be considered it too?
Yeah, but that was a little bit late. That was like the end of swing.
Okay.
This is, and everybody was like dancing.
This reminds me of jazz band in middle school.
Yeah, and we did like all the lifts in show choir. You got to get your partner. And like I could do the jumps and you could do like
fun.
It was awesome. We were really good at it.
Because remember, this was also the time when The Mask was out, when they had he wore the zoot suits too with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, they went to that jazz club.
Yeah. Chains and swinging hands. Who's your? That's when Steve Harvey used to wear his zoot suit on his Steve Harvey show.
Yeah, you can't run fast enough. This is good. They're getting to it. I think our band played this for the season too. Riot.
I recognize
it. Do you know this at all, Scott?
Yeah, I don't know where, though. I don't know how I know that chorus.
And then you know what else? It was, oh, my God, wait a minute. It was, along with that was like the, was it Real Big Fish?
That sounds
familiar. Oh!
Because I feel like ska was also kind of a thing around the same time as like the swing music came back. It was such a weird time period. It was like late 90s.
This, to me, epitomizes that time
the
right
last
here.
Last thing you should have.
Oh, not God. The Charmin Bears.
Those Charmin, you all need to advertise, really? You're not doing okay? Jeez, Bears.
They should be like, thank you for your piles of cash.
Right?
Hold on. This song, you'll know how.
Yep.
Oh.
This was in Clueless.
You know this song, Scott?
Yes.
I actually really like that big band swingy.
Yeah.
The 90s were so fun.
It was an eclectic mix. It really was.
I mean, I remember turning on the radio station like a Hot 101.5 back then, and I mean, you would hear so many different varieties of music.
You didn't know what you were going to get.
No.
You get this, you get the Cherry Poppin' Daddies with their Zoot Suit Riot, you get Spice Girls.
Followed by B.B. Mac and Hanson.
And then there was like Fred Durst with Limp
Bizkit. Yes, Linkin Park. Never had to knock on wood. Oh, that takes me back to high school.
Man, I forgot. Like, when we talk about throwbacks, we talk about, like, mainstream throwbacks, but we should probably remember some of those.
Oh, absolutely.
There's one other one, though. I had, like, a swing CD that I would play, and it was good. It was a good old, it was, like, the
big
whole
band.
Thing. Hit after hit. I was like, man. Oh, well, this was earlier. This was middle school.
This just came up next on the list.
Oh, I got you.
Just let it ride.
Yeah, when I was like a dainty middle schooler, very impressionable, this was the stuff I was coming up with.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember being, I think, what year did...
My seventh grade year. So it was seven, eight, nine, ten, so seven, so six, 1995, mm-hmm. 1994 or 1995?
Okay. So I was fifth grade, I believe. I just remember, like, one girl particularly in school being like, Kurt Cobain died.
One of my best friends was, like, emo. But it wasn't called emo then.
No. This is grunge?
Grunge. Yeah, grungy.
Hold on.
Smash.
Oh my God. When we played it for Throwback Thursday last week,
yeah.
I got goosebumps hearing it on the radio again.
I remember my friend, the one that was grungy, she had like her Nirvana t-shirt
nice.
And she had like her hair and pigtail, but everything was like just dingy looking and she had like the like leather bracelets on, and I go to the cafeteria for a study hall that day and she was literally crying and I was like, Teresa, what's wrong? And she was like, he has a daughter.
Oh.
And I don't know. We don't know what to do. I was like, like, I didn't love Nirvana like she did.
Right.
Or like this song, but I didn't like any of the other ones. So I was like, I'm sorry.
You're like, I'm sorry. And then this
but
was
like,
on repeat.
But like everything is like so dramatic in
oh
seventh
my
grade.
Gosh.
So we had to like go through it for weeks.
Ugh.
You know what other song around this time that was like my anthem?
Like, you can't not sit through that and bop your head.
No, you can't. Was Cranberry's Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
That one, to me, that was, like, my formative seventh grade. Like, when you first get into music is, I think, that was when that is. And I feel like I was jealous of the kids that came up with, like, pop music because they were probably happier.
Yeah.
My ass was, like, depressed in seventh grade. I looked like crap because my glasses and everything. This was, like, I would listen to this on my Walkman on my way home from school and just be like, life sucks. I'm the only one who gets me. Nobody gets me. This was what my generation.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So you turn it all the way up and you just be like, Zombie!
And I was just a few years younger than you. So when I was in middle school is when Hanson in Spice Girls. And see? So then that just ushered in everything else. So we were all like, yay!
No, see, I was that last generation that this was your coming up music. Oh. Wait till her voice starts and it's so haunting. Like when you were having a bad day at school, which in middle school is every day.
Oh my gosh.
This is what you would console yourself with. Wait for it. Here we go. Okay, Dolores.
God, watching this video when they used to mean something feels like I'm watching MTV TRO.
Look at, she's all gold, right? Or is it silver?
Gold, yeah.
Look at, yep, gold.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was all like, it spoke to the times. And you didn't know what it meant?
No.
But you'd be like, I know this is deep.
I feel something.
Goosebumps. Like now, that's the music that my formative, is it any wonder that like the old millennials are like slightly a little bit jaded and we were unsure if we were in Gen X or not? Like we're like, this is what we grew up with. Are we depressed?
Well, because I mean, even me, I just actually wrote this on a friend of mine. We call her Super Jen at CrossFit, and she's around your age, Holly, maybe like a year older.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're 38, I'm 34, and she has one of those like challenges on Facebook where it's like every day post a movie poster from back in the day.
Something you like.
Yeah, and like they're all movies that I've never seen, but just the look of it makes me think of Gen X and how I wanted to watch those movies, and I wanted to be a part of Gen X. But I was like, 3-4 years, 5 years too young.
Mm-hmm.
But in the time that I was watching MTV and whatnot, that's when that was like Gen X was like, that was their heyday in their 20s. And
yes.
I was like,
everything was dark.
Right. I wanted to be Janine Garofalo. Like, I wanted to be her best friend.
Like, we watched Daria.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember this. MTV had a show called Oddities. It was weird and creepy. And
wait, was it a cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Did it come on, like, late at night?
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was super creepy. Like, that whole era was weird. And we didn't know there was a thing called millennials that were coming up. Like, we didn't know that.
No.
We just knew Gen X. And so I figured that was me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't relate with all of it. So it was a weird time because we had no idea where we belonged.
Now, I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying that I wonder how the, let's say, what they're Gen Zers that are in high school now.
Oh.
So when they're our age in like 15 years, will they be doing a podcast or a Aircast or whatever it'll be called then? They'll be like, remember back when we were coming up? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like Lil Nas X. Yeah.
Like that to me is so weird. And
Lizzo,
that just goes to show you like the transition in time of like the Lizzos and the Lil Nas X. Like that's defining a generation.
Yes.
Which is also cool because it's also so diverse. I mean, can you imagine any hip hop artist talking about their sexuality if they weren't straight back then like Lil Nas X has?
No. No. No, I didn't even know about sexuality.
No, I remember only it from watching The Real World on MTV. That was it.
I wish that I could pinpoint the first time I heard what it meant to be gay or like what the word gay meant.
Mm.
I almost want to say it was like we had a woman gym coach in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor was that she was gay.
Mm.
And everybody was like, what is, what? That's
right.
Weird.
Wait,
she's kind of like, she looks like a dude, but she's a woman.
Yeah.
And she's with a woman?
What?
And we were all just like, weird.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's probably the first experience I had with anything like that.
I remember always, like, I'm assuming what it's like when you're younger straight, how, you know, like the boys will pick on, traditionally the boys will pick on the girls and they're like, ooh, cooties, but I like you, but I'm not really sure what this means. Like, I remember boys in middle and high or elementary school being, I was like that with some of the guys. Like, I remember this one guy, Fabian, who I was always just wanted to be.
His name was Fabian?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fabian. I've never forgotten it. I couldn't tell you what he looked like back then, but that like has like seared on my soul, that Fabian, and then there was a Sean, and then there was a Michael Chappell. Those were all guys in elementary school, but I didn't know what it meant. I just knew that like I wanted to be around them all the time. And then I remember when I got to middle school, when we got MTV, and I remember it was Real World Miami, and it was the gay character Dan, and he was on a dock with a guy that he had been on a couple of dates with. They held hands and they started kissing. And my cousins were like, ew. And I just remember thinking, holy shit, that's what I feel. That's what I am. But then like I couldn't conceptualize it. And then I remember literally that night, because it was the summer of 95, I believe. I was going into middle school. And I remember laying in bed that night being like, I'm gay. Like, I like men. Like, I, wow. Because up until that point, because people used to make fun of me for being gay, and I'd be like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And then I continued saying that through high school. But I really believed it. And I was like, no, I'm not. But I really loved hanging out with my friend Alan. I really loved talking and writing letters with Fabian, who had moved away. And then when I saw Dan kissing that man on the dock, I was like, and I knew from that moment on, my life would never be like my cousins. They would, it would never be the same. And
that's
then,
a lot for a kid to handle. Yeah.
It is. Well, because then I remember, like, the next day, I was staying with my cousins, Tyrone and Antonio, and my uncle Tyrone Sr. and my auntie Allison. And we had some big meal, and, like, everybody was laughing and joking. And I remember going into the room where my stuff was, because I was visiting them from Denver where we were living, and we were in Atlanta, and looking through my backpack, and I don't know if I've ever told the story before.
Oh.
I remember finding a pebble inside of my backpack, looking at it, and I started laughing. And, like, everybody came into the room, and they were like, what's so funny, Miguel? And I was like, I don't know. I can't stop laughing. This pebble is so funny to me. And they were like, I think maybe you've been up too late and maybe you got too much sun and you need to go to get ready for bed. So they all left the room. I was still laughing. And then instantly I started crying and I couldn't stop crying and I couldn't understand why. And I think it was just the gravity of understanding that I'm not like everybody else and that my life is going to be different. And my tiny little like 10-year-old brain couldn't wrap itself around. So all it could do was just like, cry, laugh, because I didn't know how to process all
that. Well, those emotions come out of the body in similar ways. Like, you have to let it out. That's why, you know, when people are feeling a lot of emotions, something happens.
Right.
Like an external something happens. And it's because our bodies cannot keep it in.
No.
So, like, that, I actually have heard that story before. But
have I
think
told it?
Maybe not on the podcast at all. I feel like I heard it long ago. But it's like
my watch.
It's like the only way that your mind knew how to process something that big without even fully understanding what it meant.
Right.
And that's how it is. And not to take away from it being a gay situation, because I feel like a lot of gay people have probably had similar revelations of sorts. And not to align the two, but I know someone who's sort of grappling with mental illness and coming to terms with the fact that they have like a disorder as an adult.
Right.
And it's like that daily until you form some sort of acceptance and like the grieving process for you, for example, realizing that you're not going to be like them.
Right.
Your path is different. You're grieving the quote unquote normal life. And so for someone who is like recently discovering a mental disorder, you have to look back on your whole life. And if you didn't have that realization as a child or a teenager, but you have it as an adult, you look back and you're like, you almost feel like you're living a lie, but it's not. It's just that you did the best with what you could.
Right.
So when you come to the realization as an adult and you look back, it's so heavy. You can only just either cry or maybe space out,
right?
Zone out,
right?
Laugh, some reaction, because your mind is like, it almost hits that shut off valve where it's like, this is so much for me to handle right now.
It's too much.
I can't process it, so I'm just gonna cry.
Yeah, because it's, you realize, and I remember thinking that night, like, I won't have a wife. Because up until that point, I just, like everybody else, you're going to get married one day and have children. And that was, you're going to have two kids.
Norm, yeah,
you're going to have white picket fence and all that stuff. And then when you realize that it's going to be different. And then I think that's where I don't think that you can choose to be gay. You're born gay, but you can choose to live in your truth or not.
Correct.
And that's when I was like, I don't know if I will or not, because I don't understand. Because I was 10, so I was like, I didn't understand exactly all the ramifications of that. And then as you get older and then you start to realize all of that, and then it just sort of, and especially back then when we were living in a time of don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
And at the time that felt progressive in the military. Do you know what that is, Scott? Don't ask, don't tell.
I kind of, just from that little context you just said with the military.
Yeah, so that's where back in the day where it was illegal, I believe, and please don't shoot me if I'm wrong, but you couldn't be gay in the military. If you were, you would be discharged. But with this rule that President Clinton back in the day came up with, was if you are gay, people can't ask you about it, but you can't talk about it, but you can still be in the military.
It just became a question you couldn't ask. Because before then, it was like, wait, you gay?
Mm-hmm.
Get out the military.
I mean, so even back then, talking about, because I feel like, and I'm always so disappointed with how the real world, what it became, the show on MTV, because back then it was such a microcosm of what was happening in society. And that's why I thought it was so impactful back then, because they would put all these different types of people together and they would talk about important issues. And as a teen, you would realize, oh my gosh, there is someone from Alabama who's never seen a black person before. And now they're living in a house with a black person or a gay person, or someone from a metropolitan area who thinks that all people from Alabama are hicks and not educated. But this person is very smart and very educated from the South. And so that's why I love that show back then. And I totally lost where I was going with that.
Because you were saying how it was like a microcosm for.
And so Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I think it was like one of the last few seasons in the early 2000s when the real world on MTV still talked about important issues, where one of the cast members, Danny, oh my gosh, oh, I hadn't thought about that in a long time. And this is when I was like coming out too. And so, and I remember Danny Roberts, he was from Atlanta. I need to look him up and see where he is. He was from Atlanta. He was on the show. He was gay, and he was dating a guy that was in the military. Oh. And so there was like all these discussions about, can he be on the show? How do you have him on the show? And so at that time, every time that he would visit Danny, they would have to blur out his face, and then they would have to change his voice. And so then it was like maybe 2 or 3 years after that when they finally, I think he left the military, and then they wrote a book together, and then we finally got to see what he looked like. Whoa. But like, that's how much it affected our lives. And so we go from that to like, obviously we couldn't marry, and even, you know, adopting kids was a struggle, to where we are now. It's like the progress that's been made. But when you grow up in that era, you're like, well, I can't be open. I can't talk about it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I have those newspaper articles about that. I have not thought about
it. It was discouraged
in so long.
Right. So it was just kept a secret. And it wasn't until, I mean, really until I got to college that anybody was really openly out. But that was 2000.
It's so crazy the progress we made. And it makes me so happy for kids that are coming up now. I mean, I remember when we left Panama City the last time, a social worker messaged me and was like, I've noticed in the 5 years, because we had two stints in Panama City, in the 5 years since you've lived here, I've noticed a change in young gay kids to where they're not ashamed of who they are. And they're like, well, Miguel's on the radio, so it's okay.
Right.
And it's not like we have like a big old, oh, it's the gay party, it's the gay show. It's just like,
the gay show.
Right, it's the gay show.
You have normalized being gay.
Right. Where it's like, we're just, Holly, you're in a relationship, Scott. You're in a relationship. We all talk about our lives. I talk about my life. It doesn't mean it's like, oh, it's the gay hour.
No.
Miguel's gay talk. It's like,
it's gay.
Right. It's like, no, we struggle just like everybody else.
Correct.
Wow. I didn't realize we were going in that direction.
I didn't. Well, you know, this is how we do.
This is the podcast for you. All right. We got a lot of stuff we got to do still. So we got to get up out of here.
Oh, God,
still?
We do?
We have a meeting.
Oh, we have a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. Sorry. Yeah, I'm awesome. Feel better. I'm good.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on everything except for Facebook, because I don't need y'all on my personal page. No offense to you. I just
want to see you, Holly.
No, Holly on Hot 101.5.
Let me see you.
Stop it.
Scott.
At Scott Tavlin. Scott Tavlin.
Yeah.
On Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
You just said titty.
You can say that, though, on the podcast.
You want some chicken titties?
Chicken nuggies?
Chalky milk?
Is it time for lunchy?
Lunchy!
Oh, no, we're done.
Okay, I'm going to go get my lunchy.
Miguel Fuller.
Ringy.
MIGUELFULLER. Radio-y. Miguel and Holly.
Super talkity.
All right, I'm done. Bye.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition, from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.